The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How can I know that my faith is genuine? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. One of my favorite times every year is the Grace Evangelical Society's National Bible Conference. This is something that you can take part in. You can find out more about our National Bible Conference by going to our website, faithalone.org, and click on events. So we are currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got questions. Maybe you've got one of those burning inquiries that keeps you up at night. And if that's the case, I hope you'll send it to us. We look forward to those kinds of questions. You can send them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. We don't want to keep our intrepid questioners waiting, so let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. We're taking your questions, which you can send at radio@faithalone.org. Here is a question from Colton. He says, I recently came out of a Pentecostal church that taught lordship and salvific loss.
So normally, lordship salvation is thought of as Calvinists who say you can't lose your salvation. However, I have written, and I agree with Colton, that there is a sense in which lordship salvation can be held by Arminians.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
We might call that work salvation instead of lordship salvation, but really, I don't think there's much difference between lordship salvation and straight-up work salvation. And besides, a lot of Arminians will say, oh, no, we're not saved by works.
Yeah.
We're saved by God's grace.
Yeah.
But he does give us the grace to do the works, and if we don't do the works, then we're neglecting the saving
right.
power of God.
So you don't get everlasting life. You kind of get a...
Like probation or
probation, and you'll see if you get everlasting life after you die at the last judgment. So that's the kind of context that Colton's coming out.
And I think
of.
Salvific loss, he means you can lose everlasting
life. You can
life.
Lose your salvation, yeah.
All right.
And we know, I'm reading Colton again, and we know that we can't find assurance in free grace theology by our fruit or works, but rather in our faith. So my question is, how can we know that our faith is genuine or saving faith per se? I sometimes worry I might not be saved because I'm worried I didn't believe enough or have enough trust on Jesus for saving faith to be present and execute salvation for me. Is there a difference between mental faith that people of most religions have and true saving faith?
Okay, there's several things in
here. Several things. And I notice he says, in free grace theology, we say that we can't find assurance by our fruit or works, but rather in our faith. Let me talk about that, first of all. You cannot find assurance in your faith. In lordship salvation, the object of your assurance is whether or not you have the right type of faith. And your faith has to have the right type of fruits and the right type of works and the right type of commitment. And so you're looking towards yourself to have the basis of your own assurance.
Right.
That is the opposite of what free grace people believe. We're saved by faith. But our faith is not what we're believing in. We're believing in Jesus and his promise of eternal life. So he is the object. Our assurance is based on his faithfulness to his own promise. That is the ground of our assurance.
But let me throw this out, Sean. Colton's question hits several issues, and you've written a book on this, Beyond Doubt, and I've written a book on assurance, too, called Secure and Sure. You might want to check those out at faithalone.org. But I would say, Sean, it's kind of both and. Yes, we're looking to Jesus, not to ourselves, but we do look to the fact that Jesus' promise applies to anyone who believes in him,
right.
And I believe in him. My faith has to be part of what I'm looking to. When Jesus asked Martha in John 11:26 B, do you believe this? Her
yeah.
answer is, yes, Lord, I believe
yeah.
that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Her assurance that she believes that is based on the fact that she believes
well,
it.
Well, so, yeah, if Jesus promises eternal life to believers, and you don't know if you're a believer, then you're right. You're not going to have assurance. So there has to come a point where you realize, yeah, I'm a believer. And that's kind of what his question is.
Right, but where you're coming from, I think, Sean, is we're not psychoanalyzing what it means to believe.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Do I really believe or don't I really believe? Do I believe enough things or not enough things?
Right. He says here, how can we know that our faith is genuine or saving faith per se? And so maybe we can answer that as our second question. Every other religion, and a lot of Lordship Salvation people, and probably in your Pentecostal church as well, a lot of them will say, you know, if you've really believed, because the assumption is there are different ways of believing. And some ways of believing are the right way, and some ways of believing are the wrong way. So it's not just about what you believe, but how you believe it. And if you believe with the right amount of commitment, or effort, or emotion, or sternness of will, if you have whatever that quality is, then you'll be saved.
Okay, now you're hitting two different issues, and Colton asks about both of them.
Right.
Because Colton asks about mental faith at the end.
He does.
But then he also says, have I believed enough and trusted enough?
Right, right.
And so Colton's asking both, what proposition or propositions do I need to believe to be saved? And secondly, he's asking, is just being convinced enough, or is right. there some kind of willful involvement?
Sure.
Is there something else?
There is the question of what you believe, and there's a question of how you believe it.
Right.
We would say there is only one how.
Yeah, let's deal with this first. What's the how?
Well, one how is to be persuaded that something is true.
That's oh, give what an believing example. Is. Give an example.
I am persuaded that Canada is colder than Mexico. I'm persuaded of that. I'm persuaded that's true.
But that's
true.
Just simply being convinced something is true.
I'm just convinced
true.
That it's true.
And you're saying the same thing is true about believing John 3:16.
Yeah, same thing. You're either persuaded that that is true or not. Okay, that's our position. Other Christians will say, no, there's many different ways of believing. You can be persuaded. That's one type of faith, and that's not a good one. And then other people say, you need to be persuaded, and you feel really good about it. That's another way of believing. And another person will say, well, you need to be persuaded, and you need to feel good about it, and you actually need to take action. And another person would say, well, that's not quite enough either. You need to be persuaded, and you need to feel good about it, and you need to take action, and you needs to be a lifelong personal commitment. And it goes on and on and on. And people
right.
define faith in different ways. And they define it so confusingly.
And you can see how that would strip people of assurance.
Yeah, because they never know. The goalposts are always changing. And they're never really sure, well, how much emotion, how much commitment, how much application.
How much money do I have to give?
So they're never going to know if they've believed. So we're saying, skip all that. There is only one how. The only how of how you believe is to be persuaded that something is true. So what really matters in faith and saving faith is what do you believe?
And by the way, Gordon Clark wrote a book by that title, Faith and Saving Faith.
Right.
Gordon Clark said saving faith is like any other kind of faith
yeah.
in terms of what were we calling it? The how of faith?
Yeah, the how.
He was saying saving faith is simply being persuaded or convinced.
So the first step is you need to understand something.
But the problem is Gordon Clark in his book Faith and Saving Faith never said this is the saving proposition.
Yeah, so we would say the difference between faith and saving faith is whether or not you're believing the saving message or a false gospel.
Okay, let's say you believe in Jesus to give you a good marriage. Would that be saving faith?
That's not saving faith.
Let's say you believe in him to heal you from your cancer.
Yeah, also good thing to believe in Jesus for. But that is not the saving message.
All right, and let's say you believe that Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
Also,
that's true.
True, but no, not just believing anything is going to save you. Okay?
So
you
what is believe, it we have to believe?
You have to believe the saving message.
Which
so
is
Jesus's
what?
Jesus' promise to the believer that they have everlasting life. Jesus went around talking about everlasting life, inviting people to believe in him for that life.
Right.
You need to believe in him for that kind of salvation. Paul, especially in Galatians, clarifies that by raising the question of works. And if you're depending upon your works in any way, then you're not believing in Jesus for your salvation. Even if Jesus is involved, if you're thinking to yourself, I need to get circumcised plus believe in Jesus for salvation to be saved, Paul says that's another gospel. It's a cursed gospel. You cannot be saved by believing that message.
Right.
You cannot be depending upon your works. You need to just be believing in Jesus and Jesus alone for what he promises.
All through John's gospel, Jesus emphasizes that the one who believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. He says it in different ways. He'll say, you'll never hunger, you'll never thirst, you'll never die, you'll never perish,
yeah.
you'll never come into judgment concerning everlasting life. He says, you've already passed from death into life. The repeated emphasis is that's what he promises. And I love John 11:25-27. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die physically, yet he shall live physically. This is the promise of bodily resurrection, and that's obviously the resurrection of the believer with a glorified body. And then he says, and he who lives and believes in me shall never die.
Yeah.
That's the promise of eternal security, no spiritual death.
Yes.
And then he says, do you believe this? And her answer was not, Lord, I don't know if I believe because I'm not sure I'm committed enough.
Right.
I'm not sure I believe enough. I'm not sure I trust enough. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that, and that's because I know you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
Yeah.
In other words, she understands that the Messiah, the King of Israel, is the one who guarantees resurrection and everlasting life to those who simply believe in him. So, Colton, let's not make it too complicated. If you simply believe in Jesus for what he promises, then you know you have that promise. Let's say, Sean, we're talking to Colton. Okay, Colton, Jesus says, he who believes in me has everlasting life, John 6:47. Do you believe in Jesus? And Colton says, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then
sure.
I'd say, well, Colton, what do you not know that you have then? Well, I don't know if I have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. And say, so how do you know that you have everlasting life? Well, by knowing I believe in Jesus. And he said, well, I don't really know what it means to believe in Jesus. So now we would come back to square one.
Right.
What does it mean to believe anything?
Yeah. And that kind of answers Colton's last question. Isn't there a difference between mental faith that people of most religions have and true saving faith?
And the answer
the difference is not the how. All faith is mental. It doesn't happen in your big toe. It doesn't happen in your leg or your arm. It happens in your mind. It's an act of the mind. So all faith is mental. But the difference between what other religions believe in saving faith is that they reject Jesus' promise of everlasting life. They're believing in other gods, other gospels. If it's Jesus plus something else, then it's not the saving message and it's not saving faith.
So a person could be orthodox on a whole lot of points, but not believe the promise of everlasting life.
Absolutely. They can believe what Paul calls a false gospel message, another gospel. And so the difference is, are you believing in Jesus for what he promises, or are you believing in something else?
Colton, this is a great question. You've gotten us into a terrific discussion, and I just want to thank you. And for each of you, if you have questions like this, send them in, because they are so helpful for everyone to think through these issues.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about Matthew 9:9-13. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.